Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's being safe out there. Roadways were a little bit dicey on the way in this morning, so make sure you're going nice and slow, taking it easy out there, and being safe and diligent. Joe, some breaking news in the NFL. This is coming from Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network. The Texans are releasing J.J. Watt. Releasing J.J. Watt. So we've talked about it. You know, obviously with the Deshaun Watson drama and everything going on with Houston, I said I don't think there's any way J.J. Watt is back with the Texans next year. I got to tell you, though, I didn't really think it would come in the form of being released. I thought maybe a trade would be executed, but now it appears that the Texans are going ahead and parting ways with J.J. Watt, and he'll be somewhere else next season.
Yeah, so that 17, I mean, I can see the $17.5 million.
It's a lot of money.
Scaring off teams. I guess I still kind of thought maybe they'd get some kind of draft, you know, some kind of pick out of it. But now he's out there. He can sign, you know, before the free agency period. So, of course, you naturally think about the Titans. I don't think he'll end up here. I think it makes sense for the Titans to inquire.
Sure.
I mean, obviously, he's played under Vrabel, and it's just like Georgia and Clemson, you know, just because another player with a similar profile didn't work out doesn't mean this one couldn't. I would think, though, you think maybe he's going to be with your beloved Packers, huh?
I think there's a chance.
But, I mean, how do we not have a Watt family reunion in Pittsburgh?
Well, there could be.
The two Watt brothers there now, you bring J.J., Bud Dupree leaves. You got TJ and JJ on your
the Pittsburgh
bookends.
Watts.
Yeah. But, you know, it's. I mean, I feel like if you had to, like, list favorites for him, I would imagine the Titans would be hovering around the top five, right? How much interest do they have? How much would they be willing to pay him?
That's the question. Like, how much money is he worth on the open market like this? Let's go to our poll question of the day that we've done on the fly here at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Should the Titans sign J.J. Watt this offseason? Very early in the voting process. 80% say yes, 20% going with no so far. So Titans fans would love to see some J.J. Watt end up in a Titans uniform this year, this in the offseason.
I mean, sometimes, and we talked to TD earlier. I think this happened with Tom Brady. I mean, I really think he doubled his efforts. It looked that way. He looked like a different player to me this year. Sometimes you get that new scenery and you want to prove something to people, and one, that you're not dumb, but also maybe a little bit of you want to show your one organization for your entire career that, you know, that you were still worth it. And J.J. Watt's the type of guy I could see getting after it.
Yep.
and extending his career. He's had so many injuries. He's not the same, but he's still a guy. I mean, look, if you took J.J. Watt in his 2020 form, how many players on the Titans roster from 2020 are better pass rushers?
Zero.
Right. I mean, I think, like, it's probably, like, close with Landry. I mean, I know people would laugh, but, I mean, Watt, you know, Watt's not what he was. He's still a guy who can give you some pass rush, give you some plays.
Ask Tyson Brilo.
Yes.
J.J. Watt.
Indeed.
That looked like vintage
Watt right there,
It wasn't the first snap, but it was pretty close after Taylor Lewan went down. Got in the backfield in a hurry after Ryan Tannehill.
He did, and the ball went, trickling out of Tannehill's hands.
I mean, to your point, he's 31 years old, which is, I mean, it's not like he's ancient, but just the injuries that he sustained, the wear and tear on the body. He's obviously not the same guy. He still is a guy that can help you, though. Like, I wonder, you know, what sort of an impact he can still make. He had 5 sacks last year. I mean, that's not going to blow you away. But there were moments where he's generating a lot of pressure in the backfield. And I do wonder, like, it was pretty clear at the end of the season last year how much the Texans in that situation was weighing on him. I mean, he had the outburst at the end of the year with that awesome press conference and, you know, was mic'd up after the last game of the regular season against the Titans, and you could hear him telling Deshaun Watson, like, hey, sorry we wasted one of your years. Like, you could tell there was a lot of frustration going on with J.J. Watt. I do wonder how much a simple change of scenery could do for him. depending on the situation. Like, if you're joining a situation like Pittsburgh, where you've already got some good pass rushers there, how much does that help him? Like, if he's the guy here coming in, I don't know. Like, you need some help on the other side as well. You still, like, if the Titans go out and sign J.J. Watt, to me, you still got to draft somebody in the first round on the edge.
Well, and so if you sign J.J. Watt, what's he going to get paid this year?
I don't know. I mean, they gave Clowney
$4 or $5 million.
They gave Clowney $12 million.
Wow.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I bet someone pays Watt more than $4 or $5 million.
Do you?
Yeah.
See, okay. Well, if that's the market, I just like you could do way better. Okay, you can't do better than what he is and what his career has been and all that stuff. And you got the history, but I think you can do better than him. So, is it better to go get someone who's in their prime that you pay $10 million to, rather than get him and then you've limited? I think it's worth looking at. But meanwhile, maybe I'm just preemptively like arguing with Jared, who just tweeted, "I think signing J.J. Watt is critical,
critical,
critical." So
hey, maybe it is.
Well, you've been asking for somebody to put next to Jeffrey Simmons.
There you go.
I mean, look, I understand that he's not in his prime, but just the threat of J.J. Watt on that same line with Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's enticing.
I want to know the number, you know, because there are plenty of other options out there. And I think you get – and I understand with Clowney – well, Clowney was different. Clowney was still perceived as still in his prime. If he's healthy, he's
yeah.
– I mean, we all know Watt is not. You know, and obviously the price tag will be different, but how different? I mean, that's a big deal.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kinston texts in and says, "Ask Joe if we should go after J.J. Watt, and then please refer to him as Joe's J.J. from now on."
No, he's Jared's J.J.
Okay.
Joe's Clowney and Jared's J.J.
Okay. Speaking of J.J. Watt, he has come out with a statement on Twitter, J.J. Watt, talking about I guess what has been termed as a mutual decision to part ways with the Houston Texans. Here's what J.J. Watt had to say.
"I wanted to do this on video as opposed to putting out a statement or doing a press conference or anything like that, because I want you guys to hear it directly from me. I want to speak directly to you and the city of Houston so you can hear the words straight from my mouth. I have sat down with the McNair family and I have asked them for my release. And we have mutually agreed to part ways at this time. I came here 10 years ago as a kid from Wisconsin who'd never really been to Texas before. And now I can't imagine my life without Texas in it. The way that you guys have treated me, besides draft night, I mean, you guys booed me on draft night, but every day after that, you treated me like family. And I truly feel like you're my family. Since that day, I have tried to do everything in my power to work and earn your respect and try and make you proud on and off the field. You guys have given me everything and more, and I can only hope that you feel like I've given you everything I have. The city of Houston's been unbelievable to me. It's where I met my wife. It's where I've met lifelong friends and my teammates. I've had incredible coaches and training staff and equipment staff and cafeteria workers and the weight room staff and the front office people and people on the streets, people in restaurants and grocery stores and showing up in my house. The connection is special, and I will never, ever take that for granted because I know how rare it is. I'm excited and looking forward to a new opportunity, and I've been working extremely hard. But at the same time, it is always tough to move on. And I just want you guys to know that I love you. I appreciate you. I appreciate the McNair family for giving me, drafting me and giving me my first opportunity in the NFL. Thank you, Houston. I love you."
So that was J.J. Watt moments ago coming out with a statement on Twitter. Obviously very emotional there about the city of Houston and the time he spent with that organization. And now the Texans moving on, J.J. Watt moving on to different things, and we'll see where he ends up. And the question is, if you're the Titans, should you go after him? And we've gotten a lot of reaction on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com that we'll get to coming up here in the next segment. But let us know, if you're the Titans, what's your number? Like, what's the number that you're willing to go to bring in J.J. Watt as a part of this team next year. When we come back, we'll discuss that. Continue to react to the breaking news in the NFL. J.J. Watt and the Houston Texans have parted ways. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Preds fans, join us every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. for Smashville Live on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season. It will feature Preds players, former players, and other special guests. And this year, we've gone virtual, and that means you can watch the show online via 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. To view or listen to past shows, go to thegamenashville.com/Smashville Live. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Friday morning, reacting to some breaking news in the NFL. The Houston Texans and J.J. Watt have parted ways, and J.J. Watt moving on from Houston. Our poll question of the day: should the Titans sign J.J. Watt this offseason now that he's available? 80% saying yes, 20% saying no. As far as J.J. Watt and what he's got left in the tank, how do you think he could impact playing next to Jeffrey Simmons? Because he's a guy, J.J. Watt's a guy that's proven you can move him around a little bit. Like, we talked about it with Clowney to a certain degree. Like, he's a guy that can line up in different spots. J.J. Watt, pretty similar in that regard. You can move him around if you need to. How much does that factor in if you're the Titans about his versatility that he has, knowing that he's not 2014 version J.J. Watt, where he was arguably the best player in the NFL, but just the versatility that he brings to the table and the leadership experience he brings to the table? How big of a deal is that if you're the Titans?
Yeah, he's got some versatility for sure. So, I mean, he definitely has moved around in that defense. The leadership, and this is what I would guess, like for Jared, for example, and those who, you know, are like bullish on, they've got to get him. I think that's probably a big part of it. And I totally agree. Like, J.J. Watt is, I think, one of the great leaders in the league and one of the great, you know, community guys in the league and all that stuff. But this almost, again, kind of goes back to the Brady thing, too. Brady goes to Tampa Bay that badly needed that and had a void of it, and along with just, you know, a quarterback who can play well, but they needed that. And so there's a huge turnaround as a result of it. I don't see this team as like they've got to have J.J. Watt come in here and all of a sudden they've got a good locker room and leadership. I mean, they're fine in that way. So it just comes down to what you think he is as a player and what his cost is. I'll be surprised if he gets more than $5 million. But Porth may be right, and that's the thing, is it only takes one team that just believes that he can make a huge difference and pay him more than that. He was due to make $17 million. Obviously, that was a non-starter for teams out there who might have given the Texans any kind of draft capital for him. So it's got to be, to me, the bottom line is, it's cold, hard business, the NFL, it's got to be a very low price.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Camden texted in, if we don't have to pay an arm and a leg for J.J. Watt, I'm down for it. But personally, I would rather kick the tires on Bud Dupree before J.J. Watt.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people out there in the free agent realm. And that's the thing. You know, I think you can get J.J. Watt cheaper than some of those guys. But if you love Bud Dupree, who, of course, is coming off an ACL, who was lined up across from T.J. Watt, so there are questions about him. You know, you're going to have to pay more for him, no doubt. You know, Matthew Judon, that's who I said the Titans should go after. You're talking 12 to 15 mil for something like that. But if you believe those guys are in their prime and elite, you can't also do this. You could do this in a cheaper guy. If you want to do multiple cheaper guys, you could do that. But if you want to go get one of those big edge guys on the free agent market, I don't think you're going to be able to afford both of those things.
John from Nashville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Texans and J.J. Watt part ways, an automatic pursue and sign for the Titans. So John thinks it's a no-brainer. You've got to pursue J.J. Watt.
Okay, but again, give me the number.
That's the thing. Like, it's hard to figure out exactly what that's going to look like, because obviously he's a little bit older than Jadeveon Clowney, but you're talking about, mean, Clowney got $12 million last year. J.J. Watt, I would not be shocked if a team ends up paying him right around $8 or $9 million. Like, that's a heck of an investment if you're the Titans for a guy that's 31 years old and that's had some injury problems, still has some ability, but not the same ability that we were talking about, you know, 3, 4, 5 years ago even.
Well, and massive injury problems. Yeah. You know, I mean, he's had massive injuries. He was, you know, a few years ago, he's on his way to me, who knows? I mean, being one of the greats as a pass rusher, he's in the, you know, he's a Bruce Smith, Reggie White kind of guy.
Yeah.
But he did it for, you know, at that level for a fraction of the time because he couldn't stay healthy. And I mean, I'm sorry, but that's just the reality of it. If it's 8-9 range, I'm just walking away from the Titans. I don't think it's worth that much money at all.
I think the most likely place he ends up probably is Pittsburgh, just based on not having Dupree and his brothers already being there anyway. I do think Green Bay is a possibility. I mean, he's from Wisconsin. Packers fans have been screaming about that for a long time. I think there's a possibility he ends up there because I think the Packers probably going to move on from Preston Smith this offseason as well. So having Za'Darius Smith on one side, J.J. Watt on the other, that could be a pretty formidable duo there on that side of the ball.
So I'm seeing people on here like Charlie Burrows. If the Titans don't go after one of the best pass rushers in the league, I'm going to be apoplectic. He's not one of the best pass rushers in the league anymore.
No, not anymore.
He still has some ability. You know, he still probably has some good football left in him. But I think it, you know, something like this, he's almost inevitably going to be overvalued by somebody.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Josh texts in, my opinion is sign J.J. Watt for about $5.5 or $6 million with some add-on bonuses and bring back Jadeveon Clowney for about the same price with some add-on bonuses and let those guys get their chemistry back together. And you can sign two more players for around $12 million and $14 million if they hit the bonuses. So not sign two more players, but those two players, if they hit the bonuses, around $12 and $14 million. So getting the band back together, getting Clowney and Watt back in the fold with Mike Vrabel.
What's the name on that text?
Josh.
Okay, because Kenston tweets to us, hell bleeping, yes, and keep his buddy Clowney too.
A lot of love for Clowney right now.
Oh, man.
Joe's Clowney's coming around.
Texans circa 2015 here in Nashville. If only they could just transport those bodies from then to now, then you would really be cooking with something. I have a feeling that neither Watt nor Clowney will be in Nashville next year.
Wow.
Wow. Here's the thing.
I don't think that's that big of a reach.
We keep asking about what the Titans should do, I mean, where are on the list of J.J. Watt do you think the Titans are? I'd be shocked if they're at the top.
And
he be more or less, you know, because obviously, you know, things didn't go great at the end, but would he be of the mindset of, I don't really want to be in the same division, or maybe more inclined back at him?
That's a good question.
I would have to say the Titans would be the highest on his list would be third, possibly, with the Steelers and Packers being up there as the top two teams.
Yeah.
I mean, playing with TJ, as TJ is elite, and the Steelers are always competitive.
Yeah.
But the Steelers just make way too much sense there.
How would that not be?
That's got to be number one, I would think.
Now, I know if you're the Steelers, you're like, oh, so now we have to sign another one.
J.J. Watt.
And, you know, what if he's not good? How much do we have to pay him?
Did you see the cap hit for Big Ben coming up this year? $41.3 million.
My goodness.
Oh, boy. Do they have room?
He better get into those kale shakes.
I don't think that's going to happen,
sure,
man.
That's his beverage of choice.
So, Porth, what's the highest you'd be willing to go for J.J. Watt? If you're the Titans, you get in a bidding war for J.J. Watt. Where do you stop?
Seven or eight?
Okay.
I would not go to double digits.
Oh, no.
On J.J. Watt.
So, I mean, if you pay $7 or $8 million for him, I don't think you're getting like the 10-12 million guy. And again, that might even be low. I mean, like Judon or somebody like that might be more like 15.
Yeah.
I don't know, but you can't get that guy. So you're going to pay 7 or 8 for 5 sacks. Not saying any of those guys are guaranteed to get you 10 or 12,
But what's the domino effect? If he only gets five sacks but is effective, does that make Jeffrey Simmons more effective? Does that make Harold Landry more effective? Does that make a possible first-round pick on the edge more effective because J.J. Watt is there and commanding more attention than any other option out there?
Well, he may command more attention than any other option, but is he a guy you have to double still? And that's the thing. The Titans are like the Titans have a bunch of guys. Everybody can just single block.
Ty Sambrello.
There you go. They may still have a bunch of guys. You just have to single block. I mean, of course, I said all that stuff that you just said now about Clowney last year. Now I look stupid.
Let's go to our text.
Joe's
line.
Clowney didn't work out.
Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, Shaq Barrett leaves Tampa and J.J. Watt joins Brady to finally get his ring. Watt going down there, teaming up with all the old superstars from 2014.
You see, they're trying to get Beckham, too, apparently.
Yeah.
Beckham to the Bucks. Buckham.
Can you imagine a receiving core with Antonio Brown, Beckham, Mike Evans?
Would they, like they all might still be there?
Well, I mean, Godwin's a free agent, so.
Okay, so that would be a swap out, right, for him.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
I mean, would you rather pay elite money for Shaq Barrett or $5 million for J.J. Watt?
I'd rather pay elite money for Shaq Barrett.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Now, the Bucks may well tag him again, you know, but, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, the top-tier guys are pretty much, I mean, again, when you think about everything else, you got to try to pay Davis, you got to try to pay Janu, all these different things you have to do. It's this big puzzle. If you invest 5, 6, 7 in J.J. Watt, the top-tier free agent pass rusher guys, he's not in the picture anymore. And you may choose wrong if you go that route, but I think I'd rather take my chances with someone in their prime than mid-level money for him right now.
So the Texans have made it clear that they want to try to mend the fence with Deshaun Watson, and I think we all would agree that's probably not going to happen. This can't help. I think it's safe to say Deshaun Watson and J.J. Watt pretty close and pretty good friends with each other.
Yeah.
This probably doesn't help in that regard in the Texans' pursuit to keep Deshaun Watson.
But they did hire a character coach.
Well, that's good.
So that's good for them. They're losing all their character players, but they got a character coach.
Hey, when you're losing all these character players, maybe you need a coach to come in, show them how it's done.
Guess so.
Oh, certainly going to be interesting to monitor what happens with J.J. Watt, now a free agent in the NFL, released by the Houston Texans, an end of an era for a Houston Texans team where you're talking about a guy that's homegrown as your star there. Great legacy for J.J. Watt in Houston, both on the field, I think even better probably off the field, just how important he was to that community, and a big day in the NFL with J.J. Watt hitting free agency. When we come back, Rex Rhodes got some pieces he wants to throw out there with college basketball, including an article on Jerry Stackhouse on theathletic.com. What do we think of the job that Stackhouse has done so far? And there's some really high-level college basketball going on around in our neighborhood right now. We'll discuss it when we come back. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Did you know Joe writes for The Athletic?
So I'd like to promote a couple things on The Athletic.
Oh, good.
Real quick.
Good.
You guys really think I'm a good promoter?
Yeah.
Probably the best in the league.
Yeah, that's what they say. Top three. Yep. Right up here.
Yeah. Here's another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexroad.
Ah, yes. Another edition of Shameless Plugs with Joe Rexroad. As we know, Joe Rexroad, not only a good writer at The Athletic, an elite writer at theathletic.com.
Don't know about all that.
Spicy. Elite. Joe Rexroad.
That's a big word.
And as we know, we like to talk about a lot of his pieces here on the show. Joe does a great job at theathletic.com. And Joe, today you've come out with a piece on Jerry Stackhouse, Vanderbilt basketball coach, talking about just the fight that he's in right now at Vanderbilt to get this program to a place where it's competitive in the SEC. So without further ado, I'll let you set up kind of the general theme of what you were going for here in your conversations with Jerry Stackhouse and just the way this article turned out on theathletic.com.
Well, reach out to him because I've been wanting to write about him anyway, but then the lost Arkansas, obviously a lot was made of that. He kind of called out his team. Some media members, he's very much disliked by college basketball media. And Jeff Goodman's in this story ripping him. You know, I reached out to him. Jerry talked about Jeff. Jeff talked about Jerry. So there's some he said in here. But a lot of that is, I think, a lot of college basketball media were stunned that Bryce Drew was fired. With the idea that, you know, Darius Garland. So a lot of this is still goes back to that. Darius Garland is out for that year. They go 0-18 in the SEC, which is totally inexcusable. You know, Aaron Nesmith, Saban Lee, they, all these guys, you don't win a game. But regardless, that's where the start of this is. But also there's definitely a, and I get it to a large extent, skepticism about NBA guys being successful college basketball coaches. Most of them haven't done well. You know, guys who had successful careers, and really it comes down to, it's really the same thing as Mike Vrabel. And I asked Stackhouse this the same way. I said, when Vrabel came in here, I had an interview with him. I said, why, you made whatever, 50 mil. You sure you're doing this?
Yeah.
Because most coaches or most players who have that kind of career, like going to announcing, you know, they're going to TV, they have a little bit more normal life. You can be involved in the game, but you're not grinding like that. And that's the question. You know, Stackhouse, what, 84 mil? Recruiting at the college level is a pain in the butt. It is constant. And that's the question with him. And it is a fair question. Like, will he bring in enough talent? I think if it works out, he's kind of like a return to Kevin Stallings. Vanderbilt fans wanted him out of here. And Vanderbilt fans probably miss Kevin Stallings right now. Kevin Stallings is a guy who recruited around the hundreds, you know, top 100 level, a little bit below that, with a lot of guys, developed guys, had old teams, had really good teams, went to the NCAA tournament 7 times. That's the model for Stackhouse. But I think Vanderbilt fans, first of all, they have a right to be upset with the fact that they're 5-47 as a program in the last 52 SEC games. That's more on Bryce Drew for sure. But still, like, fans are sick of this program losing. It's a proud program that had always been at least solid. But I would also go back on it's Stackhouse's second year, and there are good signs on the coaching front. And I hope people can see that, because this is a better coach team than it was under Bryce Drew. I have no doubt about that.
And to that point, like, I've heard the conversation out there, even though, I mean, you look at Stackhouse and his record at Vanderbilt, obviously, I mean, it's not good. It's not a good record. But I've heard that maybe he's even a better fit for the NBA game. Like, people have tossed that idea out that, you know, coming into college basketball, the Vanderbilt job, that's a hard job for Jerry Stackhouse to come into. I mean, he's been linked to NBA jobs before in terms of a guy that maybe NBA teams would be interested in. What do you think about that aspect of it, of the his style of coaching, the profile of a guy that he is, and trying to make that work at this particular situation at Vanderbilt with this school, and rather than going the NBA route, which I honestly, like, if he wanted to, I absolutely think he could be an NBA coach.
Right, but is he getting the opportunity right now?
No, I mean, I'm not saying like the Knicks are calling, offering him a job, but he is a guy that you hear in NBA circles that's talked about in terms of guys that could be a head coach in the NBA down the line, just based on, number one, the type of player he was. And we've seen it in the NBA. You're a high-level player in the NBA, you can become a coach pretty quickly. Ask Jason Kidd, Steve Nash now in Brooklyn. I mean, it happens. So I just wonder how far we are from that conversation coming up with him as well.
Well, that's one of the things that I think is, I mean, he had a lot of strong things to say about Twitter, because he's blocking all these people on Twitter and critics in general, and the idea that he doesn't care about recruiting. I mean, this is one of the best interviews I've had in a long time. Like, he kind of, you know, really opened a vein here in almost an hour of talking. But one of those things is talking about how much he loves this job. I mean, it's to the point where, I mean, I know that there's been skepticism from the start about that. And, like, when Malcolm Turner got fired last year, it's like, okay, Stackhouse just going to go back, be an NBA assistant, and then, you know, get a head coaching job. And he dunked on that idea. And, I mean, here's what he said about the NBA in this story. You know, yeah, I would have gotten an NBA, quote, I would have gotten an NBA job. If I would have gotten an NBA job, I would have been locked in that situation. But that whole model is changing to where it's like, it's micromanaged so much from the top. I'm the micromanager here. end quote. And he laughed because, you know, he's like, nah, don't really make a man. But, I mean, his point being, I mean, I think he really likes his job. I think he likes developing young kids and helping them get better. I would never discount that someday he would be an NBA coach. But, again, I think right now you get to this job and you kind of – you got to prove yourself. You know, you got to have success here to, I think, have that opportunity. I mean, I don't think people are – NBA teams are going to be clamoring for him if he doesn't have some success here.
I agree. The question is, what does success look like with Vanderbilt in this basketball program right now? Because, as you said, you know, Kevin Stallings came in. I think there were moments where this program was really good. Like, I think back to a game where Tennessee was the number one team in the country. One of the most electric atmospheres I've ever seen was a Tennessee-Vanderbilt game. A couple days after that, Tennessee just got this big win against Memphis, and a few days later they're playing Vanderbilt, and
Shane
Vanderbilt
Foster.
Takes them down. Shane Foster, like, this program has had some really good moments on the court. It's been a while since they've done that. How long of a rebuild is this for Jerry Stackhouse, and how long does he want to stick that part of it out? That to me, from the outside in, is the question that I would have for him.
Here's another thing he said. I got to find the quote on that because, like, I just, you know, I understand the question, but, you know, I think he, okay. I'm like, man, I signed up for 6 years, and if you know Minnie and George Stackhouse and how they raised me, we ain't giving no money back. Now, he said, you know, they could fire me, but, I mean, I think I totally believe him that he's in here for the haul. The question is whether he'll have the success. That's
right.
What I don't know.
Right.
He's got Scottie Pippen Jr., he's got Dylan Dessou, they're sophomores. I think he could have a potentially really, really good team, even maybe next year, but especially, again, you got to keep stacking recruiting classes. They got a decent class coming next year, but if those guys are seniors here, that's the model. The model is you have players who are good but aren't so good that they leave early, and then when you get those guys to when they're seniors, they are special players that you build around. Scottie Pippen Jr. is an NBA talent, and he's 6 foot tall. And he might be a four-year player. Dylan Dessou is, you know, maybe by a year from now, maybe he's good enough to go. But those guys are special. That's what you need. You need to build around them. They need a big. They need multiple bigs moving forward. I mean, they need to recruit better. But there's some guys even now, like Miles Studi, who is part of this piece because he kind of called him out. He could be really good.
Yeah.
He's 6'7", athletic, can shoot the heck out of the ball. Right now, he's figuring out how to play at this level. So it's developing players and growing. And, you know, Kevin Stallings, year five. Kevin Stallings was year five before he got the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
But I understand people, again, Vanderbilt fans being impatient or is upset with how things are going because it's been so bad. And there was so much excitement when Bryce Drew got those recruits, and it's just very little has gone well since then.
Well, you know where things are going really well? Belmont. And I know it's a much different level than the SEC, but Belmont is 21-1. They have a 92-74 win last night against Eastern Kentucky, 21-1. You know, we've had Casey Alexander on the show here multiple times and have talked about the group that he has. And I'm starting to ask the question, like, could this be the best Belmont team that we've seen? I mean, there's a lot to choose from with Rick Bird's group that he's put out there, a great team last year with Belmont as well, but tell you what, this team looks like they're clicking on all cylinders.
They are. I mean, Eastern Kentucky, third place. You know, good team.
15-5.
Four coming in, and just blow the doors off. I mean, Ben Shepherd is really becoming something else. Yeah, it's hard because they didn't get a non-league. We didn't get a chance to see him against.
Yeah.
They were supposed to play Michigan State. You know, a couple years ago they beat UCLA on the road. Usually they have some games like that as a barometer. Clearly they are the class of the OVC. And it would be massively surprising for them to not get the auto bid, although Murray State hung with them, and that's still a rivalry. And Austin Peay, I think, can still challenge them, but it may be. He's got a really nice perimeter depth, great point guard, great big man.
And then coming up tomorrow at 1 o'clock, Tennessee taking on LSU, maybe without E. Pons in that game. Offensively, things going a little bit better for Tennessee as of late. What do you want to see in the game against LSU? What do you think the key to victory is in that game, especially on the offensive side of the ball, which has been so Jekyll and Hyde for that team this year.
Well, keep playing fast, you know, and obviously Pons makes such a difference in terms of your defense, but keep playing fast, rebound, push the ball, don't turn it over as much. If you don't turn it over as much, then I think that pace really suits that team, especially with both of those freshmen playing like they have been. But, yeah, Fulkerson. I mean, John Fulkerson's got to step up and give him some post baskets. He's got to be a bigger presence on D without Pons if he's not playing tomorrow. And that's a tough game. Hey, LSU, they have talented teams. We know this.
Yes, they do. Question is, how'd they get them? But, you know, maybe that's a conversation for a different day. When we come back, we've got some giveaways to take place here on the show here on Robbie and Rex Road. It's Free Beer Friday. We'll throw out a trivia question for your opportunity to win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House at Opera Mills. We'll do that next. Also wrap up Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road as well. All that coming up. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porther with you on this Friday morning. Coming back with Joe Rex Road's favorite musical artist, Luke Combs.
Big fan. I think I might have said this. I tried to add the Beck song, Beer Can, which is a great Beck song, but it accidentally put in the Luke Combs version of Beer Can.
Oh, yeah?
It's not as good as Beck's version.
You watch your mouth.
But you're number one fan of Luke Combs.
Is that a song you guys like, Beer Can? Is that a...
You want me to sing it?
Oh, boy.
No.
No, I'm not going to. But nothing picks me up like a beer can. Kind of a double entendre there. Right. Nothing picks me up like a beer
Poor
can.
Some big words today.
Or nothing picks me up like a beer can.
Very nice.
Look at you. Speaking of beer...
Yeah, I get it now. I get it.
We've got some beer... Or at least your opportunity to have some beer to give away today here on the show. Free Beer Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. And you can win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills if you can answer this trivia question on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ryan Porth, today's trivia question is what?
So the fastest thumbs,
you got to be number one,
gets the gift card. You have to be the first one to get this correct in the text line, 615-737-1025. We've been talking a lot about Pecorine. Preds are playing the Red Wings. There's a lot of history between the Nashville Predators and the Detroit Red Wings. And the last time that these two teams played in the playoffs was 2012. Who was Pecorine's backup goaltender in 2012?
I know this, but I'm not going to say it. Because that would defeat the point of the competition. If you know the answer, if you know Pecorine's backup goaltender, in 2012, when the Predators took on the Detroit Red Wings in the playoffs, text in at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first texter that gets it right will win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House at Opry Mills.
I thought he was going to ask, which Predator had a very dirty hit on Henrik Zetterberg in that series?
I think I knew the answer to that one, too.
It was clean.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
People in Detroit still talk about that one.
Yeah,
I don't know if clean's the right word.
It wasn't Claude Lemieux. I'll say that.
There was definitely a gray area there.
Yeah. It wasn't Claude Lemieux on Chris Draper.
It's also Love Week here on Robbie and Rex Road. And today, our final question on Love Week is this. What's your number one piece of advice for a long and healthy relationship? And we've had a lot of great suggestions on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Steven from Nashville. Steven, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road. Go ahead.
First of all, I'd like to make a promo. It's always live on 102.5.
That's
like
right. I appreciate it, Steven. Well done.
Okay, thank you. Man, you have to know the Lord, Jesus Christ, to have a strong marriage and the understanding about each other when it comes to the Bible, what the meaning is and the significance and how important it is to know Jesus. Once you know Jesus, then you know thyself. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Stephen. We appreciate it.
Stephen, our Love Week.
Stephen's very versatile. I like it.
Yeah. That was good.
Stephen has been fired up about Love Week this week.
He has been. So we have to pick a winner.
We do. We've had a lot of good submissions. We've talked. I mean, a lot of the theme from today, when it comes to the marriages and the successful relationships, has been communication being very key. Dave from Hendersonville says, "I believe it's important in a relationship to always flirt, keep things light, and make sure you laugh together a lot. Laughter is the key."
Some of that too, like TD, you know, continue to date.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of common themes, which it's hard to, at least for me, to distinguish, to pick one right now. I need someone. You got one?
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chad from Chattanooga text in. "I've been sharing each Love Week topic with my wife all week long to hear what she would say. I sent her today's and she said, quote, 'Don't kill each other. It's the basics that keep us all in love.'"
I like that.
Some simple.
It's a little
advice.
Different. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, if you're going to have a long relationship, the people need to be alive. So this is, I mean,
thank you.
You know, she's got a point there.
Got a texture that says, "I am listening for advice. I've been divorced 3 times. So need some advice here on how to keep a long and healthy relationship."
I don't know what to say to that.
Well, we've gotten a bunch of different advice that's been thrown out there.
Yeah.
So I hope this has been productive.
Fight.
Yes, there you go.
Mine is fight.
Got a texture that says, "Take up a hobby that keeps you away from home a lot."
I mean, that's, you know, here's the thing. I mean,
the key to a long relationship is spending as much time as possible away from that person.
Like, it's funny, but there actually is some truth to that. To having,
like, you don't want to just be on top of each other all the time.
Yeah, to having separate things. And honestly, you know, Katie has, and actually the kids too, at times in this pandemic year, because normally I travel all the time, there's been like, "Are you good? You got a trip anytime soon? You going anywhere anytime?" Yeah. There's something to be said for having alone time, separate time.
Separate hobbies.
Yeah, that too. I think it's good to have same and separate.
Agreed. Yeah, I think it's important to have hobbies together and things that you enjoy outside of just that relationship, right?
Yeah.
As long as they're not crazy. Ryan Porth, your advice for the week would be what?
I forget what I said earlier. What did I say earlier?
I did too.
Random acts of kindness.
Yeah, that's what it
those
was.
Are good. Those are good.
Those go a long way.
We've had similar, you know, along those lines, you know, keep it dating.
Yeah.
Fun. Communicate for sure. It's been easier every other day
to nail down.
Although Weed Cake didn't win yesterday, but, you know.
Can
Weed Cake win today?
Maybe so. Daniel says, "Never stop pursuing your spouse. Act the way you did on day one, on day 10,000. Whenever I think over my marriage the last 12 and a half years, the times we're doing great are when I'm pursuing her and treating her like I did the first month of our relationship back in October of 2006.
That sounds really good.
You're skeptical today.
Well, I mean, it sounds good. I mean, I think in general, I get what you're saying, but can you really be exactly the same as like dating when you're way into a marriage? I don't know.
I really like Todd's that he had. I read it off earlier on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. "My late grandfather told me on my wedding day, 'Don't fight to win.' You guys said it. We all argue. It's part of it. If it happens, make your point and move on. Don't try to get the best jab in there."
That, you know what? That's a good call. And this one, I can be better there of not trying to win the fight.
Yeah, I'm bad at that too.
Yeah, that's it. Even it seems simple. It's like, of course, you know, work things out. You're married, but there's still that. No, I need the last word in. That's really good advice.
Well, then people like take it a step too far to like they'll say whatever it takes to win. And then you're in a much better situation or much worse situation than you were when that argument began.
You're digging a deeper hole.
Oh, yeah, buddy.
Well, there's a balance between that advice and mine, which is don't hold back what you think, right?
Yes.
But really, don't keep things from each other.
Sure.
Be willing to fight. But I think that's a good counter to that. Don't, you know, you want to say your piece, but it's not about winning.
Right.
It's about resolving.
Sure. That's my vote. I vote for Todd.
I think Todd is a good winning choice there.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I do, too. And he cited his late grandfather giving him the advice, so it's advice passed down from an elder.
From generation to generation, yes.
All right, Todd.
Congratulations, Todd. You're today's winner of the $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card, if I could say it right. Genesis Diamonds. Great week on Love Week here. I've had a lot of fun with this. And then I'm going to put it to practice this weekend, Valentine's Day. A lot of pressure. Not really.
You're going to put that, like,
do y'all still do
not
Valentine's
trying to
Day?
Win the fight?
Yeah. I'm going to see if I can keep that top of mind.
I don't know. I think we're actually going to have a dinner. Maybe not on Valentine's Day, but this weekend.
Okay.
So, a dinner. So,
Porth, any big Valentine's Day plans?
Going to the Preds game tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Going back in the building,
and
huh?
For the first time.
Wow.
Yeah. First time since last March. By the way, we have a free beer trivia winner.
Okay.
The correct answer was Anders Lindback.
That is correct.
And there were more wrong guesses in the text line than correct guesses.
Saw a lot of Chris Masons.
A lot of Chris Masons, some Dan Ellis, Americ Mazonitz.
Oh, that's a good one.
Name mentioned. But Brian in our text line is the winner.
Congratulations to Brian. So Todd and Brian, our winners here in this segment, both with Love Week and with our Free Beer Friday. You win a $25 gift card to Bavarian Beer House. That does it for us today here, Joe, on Robbie and Rex Row. We'll be back on Monday morning. Hope you have a great weekend.
We can still talk about love next week, too.
Yes, we can. Love will be on the table next week. Darren Donnick and Chase coming up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.